It's Paul Smolin, MD, your PEDcast host, bringing you informative and entertaining knowledge on a wide range of parenting and child health topics. You have parenting questions, he has answers. And here is your PEDcast host, Dr. Paul Smolin.
This is Dr. Paul Smolin, affectionately known around the office as Doc Smo, with another PEDcast. Thanks for joining me today. I developed PEDcasts to help parents navigate a myriad of parenting topics ranging from infancy to graduation, from the delivery room to the boardroom. In these PEDcasts, I express general observations and opinions. I've developed over a generation of pediatric practice and parenting. I'm not providing medical judgments or advice. And by listening to my PEDcast, you're agreeing to the terms and conditions listed on my website, docsmo.com. Let's talk kids with today's topic. Life is really complicated, isn't it? So I try to find simplicity anytime I can when it comes to anything in my life, but particularly my job. So I'm going to try to simplify respiratory sickness. That's cough, cold, fever type sickness in young children. And we're going to divide this today into the three common patterns of illness. And I'm going to teach these to you. And hopefully you're going to begin to recognize the kind of sicknesses that children have. And you're going to really help your pediatrician when he asks or she asks all those questions when you go to the doctor. You're going to be able to give a really good description of the pattern of your child's illness. And by that pattern, your child's pediatrician or family practitioner will have a good sense of what kind of virus the child has and whether they have a complication of one of those sicknesses. And that's the point of keying in on patterns of illness. And by patterns, we mean what symptom came first, what came second, what came third, how did the whole illness unfold. Now, before we get into the specifics of that, I want to give the moms listening a little aside, a little hint. Sometimes you got to send dad to the doctor. So the dad becomes the historian. And some dads are great at this, but a lot of them really aren't so great at this. They don't pay as much attention to the details of Johnny and Janie's sicknesses. So if you do send dad, either prime him with all the right information or certainly be available by speed dial during the visits. I can't tell you how many times we have to call mom to get a specific piece of information that I really need to have in order to figure out how to best help that particular child. Now, as we get into this subject of viral respiratory illness patterns, it's very helpful if we learn a little bit about the biology of viruses. So before we get into the specifics of today's subject, we're going to take a little detour down, you know where, Science Lane, and discuss viral infections. Now, you recall, viruses are different than bacteria in that viruses have to live inside our cells. Whereas bacteria are free living creatures. They can reproduce, they have their own metabolism, they have their own genetic material, the cell wall. They really are sort of an island under themselves. But viruses have to enter our cells and take over the metabolism of our cell in order to reproduce and to somewhat exist. And these viruses have an affinity for specific cells of our body. So the ones that infect our stomach, for instance, mainly give us stomach symptoms. When we get vomiting and diarrhea, when we get that kind, we call those enteroviruses. Then there are other types that are mainly skin-type viruses. And then the ones we're going to talk about today are the respiratory tract viruses. And we divide those into three types: upper, middle, and lower. The upper part of your respiratory tract is your nose and throat. So those are the viruses that have most of the symptoms in our nose and throat. And they're actually different kind of viruses than the ones that cause middle respiratory symptoms. Those being the prototypic sickness there is laryngitis, or we call that croup in babies. There's often hoarseness, a dry, hacky cough, a little bit of fever usually with this one, a little sicker that ends up infecting our trachea and bronchi, and we call those middle respiratory viruses. And then finally, the worst viruses of the respiratory tract are the ones that have the affinity to infect the cells of our bronchi and lungs. And we call those lower respiratory viruses. Things like the flu, high fever, really sick in most cases. So if you think of your own sicknesses, you'll think, okay, I get some upper respiratory cold type illnesses. I get some middle, sore throat, cough. And then I get some really bad ones in the winter, the lower respiratory type, when I get a high fever and I really feel bad and can't go to work. All three types of respiratory infections are infections of the surface cells of the respiratory system. Remember, viruses enter cells. These are infections of the surface cells that line our nose, our throat, our larynx, our bronchi, our trachea, our lungs, etc. And those cells are different than other cells in our body in that they are very rich with mucus, and they also have these little brooms we call cilia that move mucus and presumably keep our respiratory system clean by letting go of a little bit of mucus and moving that mucus upstream so that any dirt or bacteria or viruses that do enter get washed away. So their job is to constantly hose down your nose, throat, bronchi, etc., and sweep that nasty stuff into the trash. Now, when these cells get infected, they can't do their job properly, and they end up letting go of all of their mucus, their cilia stop working, and we got a big, big mess. And the viruses are able to reproduce by creeping from cell to cell to cell throughout your respiratory system. It takes about 2 days from the time the germ touches your nose to the time you start getting your symptoms, and about another 3 days to fully infect you. And we can all feel that process going on, you know. We all get those sore throats that turn into the stuffy nose, that turns into the cough, and that takes a few days to all unfold. And when the cells first get infected, they swell, they puff up, and we have this burned kind of feeling inside us. And then a few days later, those cells die and they slough and they let go of all their mucus and all the mess that lays around. That's why we gotta blow our nose and cough all night and all that junk. After the viral infection has done its thing, you know, after all those cells are damaged, it takes us another week or so to completely clean up the mess. So we think of the classic viral respiratory illnesses lasting for 10 days. And the pattern is usually day one, feeling yucky. Day two, feeling worse. There's more virus around, remember, so you're going to feel worse. Day three, there's going to be more symptoms. The cells are starting to die. They're starting to let go of more mucus. But we're going to begin feeling better because the virus has already done its thing and is beginning to not reproduce anymore. So it makes sense. Day one's bad. Day two's worse. Day three, by the end of day three, usually people start to feel better, but they have more symptoms like congestion and cough. Now you see why we don't get all of our symptoms with viral infections all at the same time. The virus has to infect different cells, and that takes days for that whole process to play itself out. Wouldn't it be great, though, if at the very first sign that you had a viral infection, you could run little Johnny or Janie to the doctor and get some antiviral medicine or some antibiotic and make the whole thing stop, keep the train from leaving the station and having a 10-day respiratory sickness? Wouldn't that be just great? Well, we do have a few viruses that we have those kinds of medicines for, but most of them we do not have that medicine. Back in the 30s, when they first discovered antibiotics, they thought, oh my God, this is this magic bullet. It's going to stop all human infectious disease. They quickly realized, though, that it worked great. Those antibiotics worked great for bacterial infections, things like kidney infections and pneumonia and that kind of stuff, but they didn't work at all for viral infections. Chickenpox, the flu, lots of different viral infections. It didn't have any influence. So the answer to the question is no. You can't run Johnny or Janie to the doctor and get some antibiotic to stop a viral infection. And unfortunately, the majority of sicknesses that kids get today are viral infections. Time for a Doc Smo Pearl. Here's something that I've noticed that helps me and may help you get a sense of what kind of virus your child has. The deeper in your body the virus attaches itself, the more intense your bodily reaction is going to be, especially fever. So if your child has an upper respiratory type virus, that's pretty surface, almost on the outside of your body. You're probably not going to get any fever with that. And your child's not going to feel very sick. Whereas if they get a middle respiratory virus, they're probably going to feel sicker, probably going to have some fever at some point, and that's a clue that it's a little deeper in. And then finally, the deepest ones in terms of the respiratory tract are lung infections, and those are the ones that tend to give kids really high fevers, 104s, 105s, and really knock them down hard, and that's a clue that they have a deep body infection. So watch for that in trying to figure out what your child might or might not have.
But Doc Smo, I got a question for you from rural North Carolina. Now, how do we keep our little chillens from getting these old viruses in the first place?
Good question. Because it's really tough. You know, we are infectious when we're sick, when we have a fever, etc. But we're also contagious with viruses before and after sicknesses. So we really never know when you come into contact with other people if they're contagious, if they're incubating a virus or the like. So keeping your hands clean or your child's hands really clean is really important, especially when you're in public places. Another tip is avoid large groups of young children, especially inside and especially in cooler weather when people have lots more viruses that they're shedding. Try to play outdoors, even if it's really cold, even if the weather is bad. You're better off outdoors, in my opinion, than you are indoors, because your child is very unlikely to touch the same rock or stick that another child has touched. But indoors, they're very likely to touch lots of surfaces that are contaminated with viruses. And you know those little kids, their fingers are in their nose and their mouth, like it seems like all the time. The average child, no matter how careful you are, gets between 7 and 12 respiratory illnesses a year. That's the once-a-month club, guys. And that's a lot of sickness. Most parents are absolutely amazed when they first start having young children how often they're sick. It's just not normal for an adult to be sick this much. But this is absolutely normal for young kids.
Doc Smo, I got another question for you from rural North Carolina. I want to know how knowing all this stuff about viruses helps me take care of little Johnny or Janie when they get sick.
Well, here's what I want you to remember of today's Speedcast. Try to avoid indoor crowds of children with your kids. Fewer kids they're exposed to, the better, especially in cold weather. And if you do get together with other kids, try to do that outside. Try to keep your kids' hands clean, especially when they've been in public places. Use hand gels. Wash their hands a lot. These are hand-to-nose, hand-to-mouth kind of infections. These are touch-spread infections most of the time. So you can stop that with clean hands. Also remember, most infections in children are viral infections, and they're not treatable. And viruses usually gives you that up and down pattern of sickness, you know, feeling bad, feeling good, feeling bad, feeling good. And remember, day one, not so good. Day two, worse, more virus. Day three, better. By the end of day three, your child should be beginning to feel better. If they're not, make sure you check with your child's doctor. Now, dehydration is a really serious thing with viral infections, and it also often complicates viral infections. So make sure your child has plenty of fluids when they're sick. I happen to be a vitamin C and chicken soup believer. I think there's pretty good science behind the fact that both of these substances shorten viral illnesses. They don't prevent it, but they shorten them. So giving your child fresh citric fruit and chicken soup can really help make these sicknesses not last as long. Now, remember that whole talk about the cilia and the mucus and the respiratory tract and how that normally keeps things clean? Well, when those cells are infected with viruses, they don't work very well. So you've got to replicate the cleaning process of the cilia and mucus by using saline spray and washing your child's nose as much as possible so that they don't end up with sinus and ear infections. Well, now you have some idea of the common patterns of respiratory illness. Hopefully you begin to recognize these in your kids, the upper, middle, and lower respiratory patterns. And now let's talk about, well, when should you bring your child to the doctor? Because I've told you that most of these really aren't treatable. So here are Doc Smo's suggestions for when to come to the doctor. If your child has a fever beyond the third day of a sickness, bring them. If they act like they're in pain at any time, bring them. If there's any rapid breathing, wheezing, labored breathing, using a lot of muscle effort to breathe, bring them to the doctor. This could be the dreaded pneumonia. If their urine output is poor, they don't have making any urine for 12 hours or more, they're probably getting dehydrated, bring them to the doctor. If their congestion lasts more than 10 days, bring them to the doctor. Or if that little voice inside you, that parental voice says, I think Janie or Johnny's really sick, bring them to the doctor. That's what we're there for. We're there to help you take care of your sick child and to hopefully take care of any complication that might come along. This is Dr. Paul Smolin, you know, Doc Smo, broadcasting from Studio 1E in beautiful Charlotte, North Carolina, wishing you and your children nights with dry noses and sweet reposes. Check out other episodes of DocSmo.com. This is episode number 24. I try to put new content on at least weekly. I love to hear your comments, so feel free to send me back a little of your feedback, questions, comments, etc. My goal is to give you practical parenting information to help your family grow healthy and strong. Until next time. I want to thank the following people for their help in producing this podcast: Ann Gesner for her editing assistance, Sarah Smolin for her digital editing and photography work, and the duo Musiquette, Ben Smolin and Jerome Move, for helping with the bumper music that you're hearing currently. Thanks, guys.